Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome back to our discussion on the Feast of Tabernacles. Today we're going to be talking about points number 5 and 6 out of the 7 lessons God wants for Christians to learn by observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Point number 5 is that the Feast of Tabernacles is a time of gathering of the harvest. All of God's feast days were based on the harvest cycle in Israel, but there were two particular times when the crops were to be harvested. And let's read in Exodus chapter 23 about the three times that God says that all the men of Israel should appear before Him. But you'll notice that two out of those three times are times of harvest. And then we're going to focus on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Feast of Ingathering, to show that this is the time of the gathering of the largest harvest. And so this is in Exodus chapter 23, and we want to read in verses 14 through 16. This is Exodus chapter 23. And verses 14 through 16. It says, "Three times you shall keep a feast unto me," speaking of the Lord, "in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread," that's the first time. "And then you shall keep the feast of first fruits," that's the second time. And notice how it describes the feast of first fruits. "You shall keep the feast of first fruits of your harvest labors which you have sown in the field." And this is the feast of first fruits. These were the first of the fruits of their labor to be harvested. And as we showed in previous programs, this represents the age of the church, where many are called, but only a few are chosen. Those are the first fruits, the first ones to follow Christ and to be resurrected from the dead, or changed in the twinkling of an eye, to receive eternal life, to receive their permanent dwelling place. That's the Feast of First Fruits, and that is also called Pentecost. That happens before the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Feast of Ingathering, is next. And notice how it describes this one. It says, "The third time you shall come before the Lord is at the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year," and this is at the end of the harvest cycle of the year. "It's in the end of the year when you have gathered in your labors out of the field." So we know that this is a time when the greatest gathering of harvest comes. This represents something very important. What does it represent? Well, this leads us directly to point number 6, and that is the gathering of the nations. So the gathering of the harvest was to teach us about the gathering of the nations. Notice how it describes the gathering of the nations in Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll read verses 4 through 12. This is Isaiah chapter 11, and we'll read in verses 4 through 12. And you'll notice that it talks about the Israelites and the Gentiles, both people being gathered in to worship the Lord in mass for the first time ever. And this is going to be the time when the blindness will be removed from the Israelites and, of course, from Gentiles. But as you know, for the most part, Israelites have rejected Jesus as the Christ, Yeshua as the Messiah. And so, as you'll probably remember, Paul basically wiped the dust off of his feet. He turned away from the Israelites and said that his mission was now to the Gentiles, because the Israelites had rejected Yeshua as their Messiah. They had rejected Jesus as their Christ. And Paul went on to explain that blindness was still on Israel, but it was going to be removed at a certain time, because at the time when he was writing, he described it as the time of the Gentiles, when Gentiles would have a chance to come in. But he did say that also the Israelites would have a chance in the future to come in to the church, to come in to relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the Holy Scriptures. And so this time is going to happen during the Feast of Tabernacles, this 1,000-year reign of Yeshua the Messiah. After his second coming and after Satan has been bound for 1,000 years, then he sets up the kingdom of God. The resurrected saints will be kings and priests ruling with Yeshua during those 1,000 years, and will be teaching the Israelites about their own scriptures and unlocking the meaning. Like, for instance, we will be teaching the Israelites about the Feast of Tabernacles. They observed it as the Feast of Ingathering, but only for gathering in their harvest from the field. But we will teach them that this Feast of Tabernacles is really about the gathering in of the nations, harvesting the nations so that they can have eternal life. So let's read this in Isaiah chapter 11 and verses 4 through 12. It says, "With righteousness shall Messiah judge the poor, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb." Notice how this righteousness and faithfulness pays off, because not only will the nature of people be changed as they receive the Holy Spirit, but God will miraculously change the nature of wild animals, so that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb instead of trying to kill it. The leopard shall lie down with a goat instead of trying to kill it. And the calf and the young lion shall lie down together. So instead of the lion trying to kill the calf or the bull, it's going to lie down together. And a little child shall lead them. Little child is going to treat a lion, a big fat cow, a leopard, and a mean old wolf. It's going to treat them just like as if it, all of them were a little poodle dog, because God will miraculously change the nature of animals, and that's going to be as a representation of how he will miraculously change the minds and natures of people. The only difference is, of course, animals don't have free moral agency like we as people do, so we will still have to choose to accept God's teachings and choose to live God's way of life. All right, so let's continue here. It says, "Nobody's going to hurt anything in all of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of Yahweh, just as the waters cover the sea." And you know that the waters cover the sea. The sea is made up of water. So the waters cover the sea. And that's how it's going to be with the knowledge of Yahweh. The knowledge of Yahweh is going to cover the earth. That's why people will not be hurting or destroying anything in all of God's holy mountain. And now notice this also. It says, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse," which is Yeshua the Messiah, "who shall stand as a sign for the people," as a road map for the people, "and to it shall the Gentiles seek." So that's the first part. The Gentiles shall seek the Messiah, because you can see that there are many, many Gentiles, and Gentiles are anybody who's not an Israelite. You have many, many Gentiles. You have over 1 billion Chinese who are Gentiles, who have not accepted Yeshua in this age. You have over 1 billion Hindus who have not accepted Yeshua at this time. You have over 1 billion Muslims who have not accepted Yeshua. And you have a lot of so-called professing Christians who follow God through their traditions, as opposed to worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And there's over 1 billion professing Christians that, frankly, aren't any more Christians than a Muslim or a Buddhist. They're just Christian in name. They're just Christian in perhaps culture. They were born into it because their family said that they were Christians. But they don't believe in Yeshua the Messiah and worship him as God any more than a Buddhist or a Muslim or a Hindu does. And I'm not trying to judge people or criticize people. That's just the fact. By their fruits you shall know them. And so we see here that the Gentiles shall seek Yeshua in the world tomorrow after his second coming, when he sets up the kingdom of God. But not only shall the Gentiles seek him, but notice what else it says. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people which shall be left. And who are his people? It's the Israelites. So he says he's going to set his hand a second time to recover the Israelites which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and Cush and Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. So in other words, to every place where the Israelites will have been scattered, God is going to gather them back into the promised land. And it says, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel. He's going to gather them together. He's going to gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. So again, my friends, when Jesus the Christ returns to this earth, he is first going to bind Satan the devil for 1,000 years so that he won't be out there deceiving the nations. And then he's going to start to teach the world, the people of the world, how to live the right way. And eventually the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And eventually people's natures will be changed. They'll be changed from human nature to divine nature, from selfishness to love. Just like God is going to supernaturally just perform a miracle on animals, so that animals, their natures will change, and the aggressive ones won't be going after the more meek ones, but all of them shall be dwelling together in peace. And that's going to be an object lesson for us as human beings who have the choice to live in peace and harmony, or who have the choice to bring about wars and destruction. But many, many people will finally get the point that there's only one way to live, and that way is in worship of God in spirit and in truth. And that is why God is going to gather the nations, all peoples, Gentiles and Israelites. He's going to gather people together to change their natures. This will be the feast of ingathering, the time when God begins his large harvest. Right now, during the Christian era, after Christ's first coming, but before his second coming, right now, this is the time of the first fruits. Many are called, but few are chosen. Only a few have received Christ. But at that time, during the feast of ingathering, many people will accept Christ. And that will be a great and joyous occasion. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me on this occasion. I hope you'll come back for our next program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org or call us on 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.